Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was the chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 13-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining. Drop, keep screaming for more. Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5. Why, sporty,
woody, dragon, why? Well... Welcome to another edition to the Sip and Chew Show with Mike and Stu on this beautiful Sunday morning.
Are you Mike or Stu?
I'm Sip.
Oh, okay. That must mean I'm Chew.
You're the Chew. So I have people ask me, are you the Sip or the Chew? Anyway, welcome to the show. Welcome to Sunday morning. Beautiful outside. Just beautiful. Yeah. And I was listening to the weatherman this morning. He was just talking about, you know, the cool air coming in, and it keeps getting pushed back. To me, it seems like it keeps getting pushed back, pushed back, pushed back. And there's supposed to be some 40s this week.
Oh,
not
really?
During the
I
day,
it was
but
supposed
at
to be like
night.
58 tonight.
Yeah.
Well, that rainstorm that pushed through last night is bringing in a cold front.
Yeah, it feels so. I walked out to check on something, and I started feeling raindrops were falling on my head.
Yeah. I did that when I walked Luke this morning. They were falling from the trees. It wasn't actually raining. It was just it rained so
it
much.
It had come from somewhere.
Yeah. But, did you notice my yard?
You done something.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Mowed some grasses.
Okay. I figured that was what it was. I didn't see any goats out there, so I know it wasn't goats that trimmed your yard.
Well, I have an electric lawnmower, push mower.
I know you do.
And I will tell you now, all of you gas lawnmower purists, you're goofy. I had this guy on Facebook just rail on me. Yeah, it's great now, but where do you have to fix it? See how much it's going to cost. Well, if it costs that much, I'll just buy a new one, just like I do with a gas mower.
Well, I enjoy mine.
Just so you know, I bought a high-end gas mower when I first moved there. It worked once cutting the yard. And I've got
well,
somebody.
Your yard, yeah.
Yeah, right, which is 2 acres with a push mower. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But it cut the yard one time and died, and I've got to get it worked on. I bought an electric mower for $200 less than I paid for the gas mower. I've cut that entire yard 3 years in a row, and I've never had a problem with it.
Well,
And you know what the upkeep is on a electric lawnmower? Charge the battery.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you got to do. As long as Steve's choking, so he's going to throw another cashew down his throat.
Yeah, something dry. Here, have this Popeye's biscuit. Listen, I'm going to get it right in a minute. Electric lawnmower. Love it.
Awesome.
The only problem I have is I need a battery charger that will hold two batteries at the same time.
My lawnmower holds two batteries at the same time.
My lawnmower does, but my charger doesn't.
Yeah.
So I've got to charge one overnight and then got to charge
overnight. Mine takes 45 minutes to charge.
Not mine. Mine takes overnight. And so if I had a dual charger, now I can order the dual charger, but it has to come with batteries too. Yeah.
I went to a Tractor Supply and bought their brand.
That's still almost $400.
Yeah. I can get another battery for like $165.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a second battery, I could cut all day long.
You ever noticed it's the same thing with razors? Why is it you got to go in and pay $15 for razors? Just the razors.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go over here and get two razor blades with a new handle for $7.
I will tell you why. It's a scam. I will tell every man out there that shaves right now, you know the old-fashioned razors that have a blade edge on each side and you unscrew it, put it on?
Yeah.
You pay $1 for 10 razor blades.
Right.
It's a single blade cut that cuts as close as any of those fancy razors. That's what I've used for the last 7 or 8 years.
And
I have spent $4. Yeah, I have a skull.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the question, though.
Yeah.
Do you have one of the old-timey medicine cabinets that you open the mirror and there's a little slot up there, and you drop your blades.
No, I have a new high-tech.
Yeah,
they used to have a little clip up there just to hold the razor. I've seen them. I've had all the
little slot. So had them. Yep. Little slot, and when you get through to dispose your blade, you just drop it in that slot.
Oh no, I'm not talking. I was talking about having two little metal clips up there that the handle of the razor blade.
I was six days old when I found out.
But then I tore down what I bought an old home that had that. When we tore off the plaster wall and everything, there were razor blades
down in the
rusted
wall.
Piled up in there.
On that same subject, I had an apartment once in Chickasaw, Alabama.
Chickasaw.
At a place that we affectionately called Ghetto Lane Apartments. The drug dealers would shoot out the lights in the parking lot so that they could be in the shade when they were dealing, when I moved in. A new company came in, bought it, tried to turn it into luxury homes, to which everyone said, really? In Chickasaw?
Good luck.
Yep. And they priced themselves out of business. They kicked out. I was with the last group of people that lived there. They refused to renew anybody's lease because they were convinced they were going to go from getting $400 a month for these apartments to $4,000 a month for these apartments. Now it's back to being a ghetto lane again.
Anyway.
But they had a wall. I had a hole in my wall next to my sink.
Who were you looking at?
No. Oh. It went into it was a two-bedroom apartment. And there was a hole right there next to it. And for years, I tried to get them to fix it, and I finally decided I don't need a trash can in here anymore. Every empty toilet roll, everything. I just filled up that wall with it. They weren't going to fix the hole.
Insulation.
Yeah, really was. I couldn't use one of the bedrooms because the upstairs bathroom leaked into that bedroom.
Oh,
and for 4 years, they didn't bother with it until I finally showed them the toxic
money. How much did you pay a month?
$400 a month for a two-bedroom
apartment. Well, there you go.
Apartment. Yeah, next thing is why?
And you got to insulate your own walls.
Because that's what I can afford.
I get it.
And you got to insulate your own walls.
Yeah. Wow. But when they did refurbish stuff, they had these little – it was very cool. They were cottages that were built onto the side of the apartment building. So you shared 36 inches of wall with anyone else. The rest of it was like having a little cabin. They moved me into one of those for $750 a month while the refurbishing was still going on, one bedroom. That was very nice. But like I said, when everybody's lease ended, they just didn't renew anybody's lease.
So I have a question, totally off the subject.
Yeah.
Where's the baklava?
It's there.
It's at Greek Fest. It's there at St. Anne's Church.
It doesn't travel well.
Oh, please.
Oh, come on.
It doesn't.
That stuff's 6 or 7 months old, Mike. They make it in the summertime and freeze it.
Doesn't travel well.
It doesn't travel well in his vehicle.
My vehicle won't travel well at all.
Yeah. Every time it gets in his vehicle, it just disappears.
It disappears in my other vehicle.
Yeah,
my
gets
human,
broken down
my
by
human
stomach
vehicle.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so then I have something here that I thought would be interesting this morning that was in the back break room. And Belmont, I guess the Farms Collection, they have sea salt Virginia peanuts and chili lime peanuts.
Yeah.
Now, talking to you, Stu, before the show.
Steve got an education earlier.
Yeah.
Peanuts are not nuts. They are peas that when you dry them and roast them, they have the texture of nuts, which is why they call it. Yes, they are a legume. Peanut allergy and nut allergy are two different allergies. Just because you have one does not mean you have the other. But it is possible and not unheard of to have both allergies.
Huh.
But peanut allergy and nut allergy, you can eat peanuts. But that doesn't mean you can eat almonds.
I didn't realize
you can
that.
Eat almonds. Doesn't mean you can eat peanuts.
And the difference is because one is going in the ground and one is hanging, right?
Well, they're just two different plants altogether.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But most
a nut is the seed of a tree,
right?
Whereas peas are part of a pod that are seeds for whatever the plant is.
Did you know that, Mike?
Did not. I just learned something too.
I
will tell you. I work Baldwin County a lot, and
they've grown huge peanuts over there. Colossal peanuts over there.
They are turning the soil up over there as we speak because they come in and I don't know what kind of type of equipment they use, but it turns the plant upside down where the peanuts are shining
at
the sun. And then another truck comes along and
harvests them.
They harvest the nuts right off the plant as they're turned upside down, and then they come in there, get all that stuff out, and clean up, getting ready for the next crop.
More stories from Laurel, Mississippi when we return. 251-343-0106.
Banjos them are ringing, and the dock is singing down on Mobile Bay. Stars are brightly shining, and my heart is pining for the South each day. My sweetheart is waiting, cute and fascinating. Well,
for more than a decade, they are the dynamic duo of dining. Doggone. Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
So, Stu.
That's me.
What were we talking about?
Legumes.
Peanuts. Legumes, peas. And
have you tried these yet? I mean,
no, you're hoarding them.
No. Take a lid off that bad boy.
Let your diverticulitis take that for a spin.
They are the crispiest. I have never had a crispier peanut
Mike,
ever.
This is a chance for you to experience a premium peanut.
Yes. That's a nice word. Premium. Let's see. Really, really good.
Oh, yeah. Dig that crunch, sir.
That look, man. Yes, it's just...
It feels like there's a touch of garlic mixed in there, which all nuts should have when they're roasted with salt.
But pecans. Really good.
This one says chili lime seasoning, too.
Yep.
I don't know. So is that one different, or is it just a different container?
Yeah, sea salt. But
that's the sea salt. Yeah. That's why I'm getting the chili lime on that one.
Yeah, because it's chili lime on the label.
But the sea salt. I went to Belmont University.
I like the dust on there.
Yeah, that's really good.
Man. This was not
problem with these nuts.
By
is
the
now
way,
Mike's going to want a Miller High Life. Mike's like,
but those are the type of nuts, man. They're really, really good.
Which are good.
You eat enough of those, though, man.
This is Belmont, the Farms Collection.
Mm-hmm.
Premium Virginia peanuts.
I did a little bit more research on, but I don't know who brought those in, but they were in the back sometime earlier this week. But man,
yeah, it actually says from Cortland, Virginia, too, because a lot of times you'll see premium Massachusetts peaches, and then you look on there, product of Mexico.
Right.
One
New York.
One total gram of sugar in this one.
That's not bad. That's good.
Oh, that's actually great. Same here.
Healthy nuts.
That's going to be natural sugar, too.
Now, obviously, if you get a nut allergy.
Yeah, there's no sugar added whatsoever.
We just talked, Steve.
It's a peanut allergy. It's a peanut allergy. But I'm just saying, some folks don't know the difference. So you got to overview everything for some.
If you're not sure, avoid them both.
There you go.
Unless a doctor tests you and tells you otherwise.
If you don't think you're going to make it, don't eat it.
Yeah, because both allergies are highly dangerous.
Oh, yeah. When your throat constricts.
Asphyxiation.
You just choke right
off. It's a genuine anaphylactic reaction.
That's it.
One of the problems that you face in the restaurant industry is people think that because they don't like something, that they can just say, I have an allergy to that.
Mm-hmm.
And
like gluten?
I'm talking stupid stuff like onions.
Oh, really?
There was actually a customer one time who ordered fettuccine Alfredo with angel hair because they were allergic to fettuccine.
Huh.
Folks, all pasta tastes exactly the same. The only reason there are different shapes is because different sauces will hold on to the shapes better. Ah. Alfredo sauce will not stick to angel hair pasta.
Ah.
If you get fettuccine Alfredo and you have them substitute angel hair, you will eat plain angel hair pasta and have a pool of Alfredo in the bottom of the bowl.
Now that explains some things.
Now, let me ask you. When
red sauce goes with
this is a good conversation right here, because I like to bake bolognese. Mm-hmm. Love bolognese.
Meat sauce,
yeah. Okay. And I will use the shell that looks like a seashell.
Like manicotti? Oh, seashells, yeah.
Look like a seashell, because they'll cup the sauce in them.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a macaroni.
Man, that is awesome.
Seashells are macaroni.
Well, they're manicotti, essentially.
That's also macaroni.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Macaroni is not elbow-shaped.
No.
Elbow is a type of macaroni. I have a little experience when it comes to macaroni. But macaroni are pastas that have cups or hollow in the center. You had bucatini. We went somewhere and they served bucatini.
Like the tubes. Yeah.
Yeah, bucatini looks like spaghetti, but there's a hole running all the way through it down the middle. Yeah, a little larger in diameter, too.
How do they do that?
Practice. But
a very steady hand. Yeah.
Bucatini.
You got a drill?
Yeah. Bucatini is a macaroni.
Yeah.
It, if it cups, if it's hollow. But macaroni, its purpose is to collect all the sauce, exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's also important to note that in Italy, they do not eat pasta with very much sauce at all. They want the pasta, not the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
What we put in our mouth in a bite is what they want on the whole pasta dish. Should be barely coated with any sauce.
Really?
The highlight is the pasta. We don't have the fresh pasta everywhere like they do in Italy. We have dried pasta. Mm-hmm. So you really don't get that same effect you do with a freshly made. I roll it and I immediately put it in the oil, boil it, and then put it on your plate.
I was just going to ask. Yeah. The oil's key in it.
Well, there's no oil. It's water. You just boil
it. You just said. Well, I'm just saying when they put it in, too, like when you go to Carrabba's, for example, and you get the oil and then they put the seasoning
You're talking about sauce-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just the sauce-wise.
In America, that's what's important.
Well, what I'm saying, overall, in Italy, you were saying that they go for the pasta, not the sauce.
Right.
Is it because of the oil?
There's usually not any oil involved.
I watch a lot of videos on, where they'll do, and you see the difference between America and Italy, how they do their pasta dishes. Mm-hmm. Italy, it's only three ingredients.
Yeah.
That simple. Parmesan cheese, butter, pasta.
Yeah. That's just real that Alfredo. Simple. Alfredo in Italy is two ingredients, butter and Parmesan cheese.
And I'll do that, and I'll put basil and the little grape tomatoes in them.
Yeah.
And just it gives it all the flavor I need. I don't need a meat. I don't
need
a sauce.
Traditional Caesar salad does not have anything but lettuce, Caesar dressing, and croutons. But I love cherry tomatoes in a Caesar salad.
Hmm.
Yeah, I love Caesar salad. You and I both. In fact, talked to Joe Brazil yesterday. You remember Big Joe worked for me. In some kind of competition, got to do everything on the smoker. I said, do grilled romaine.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, huh? And I told him how to do it. And he goes, can I do it on a smoker? And I said, can you cook directly over the direct heat of your firebox? He goes, yeah.
There you
problem.
Go.
And then I suggested he do with that a hanger steak topped with a mixture of boursin cheese and crab meat.
Ooh.
And I said, and since you got a smoker, try smoking the potatoes about 3/4 of the way and see what happens when you then cut them up into fries and fry them to finish them. So he's going to let me know. I said, now that's just a thought experiment. I've never tried. And how long do you have to smoke the potatoes to get all of this to work so that you actually get a smoke flavor, too? There's a lot of trial and error with that particular thing. But that is how I think, and a lot of chefs think. What if?
What if?
Yeah.
I like grilled romaine.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yep.
Heat it up, get a little char on the edge of the leaves.
Yeah, what you do is you take the whole head and you put it on your grill.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And as soon as you get the little black marks where the grill grates are, you rotate.
Turn it.
Until you get the marks all the way around. And that's it. You're done.
I usually cut mine right down the middle, in half. And it's
And that's how you do like a Belgian endive, which looks like romaine, but it's about 4 to 5 inches long. It's a burgundy color with white trim. Split that in half in a pan, a little olive oil. Put it face down where you cut it until it is nice and charred, like you would, say, fried Brussels sprouts. Because it's in that same vein. Then flip it over, get a little char on the other side, hit that with a little balsamic vinegar. My gosh, that is good. Belgian endive, cooked in a pan, charred like that.
So my question is, this is a vegetable that you're roasting, essentially. What's the difference he's going for the peanuts again? So he must be
that he didn't care for.
Keep talking. Pay no attention to the man behind the screen.
So what's the difference in flavor change?
You are bringing out the natural sugars that are in any plant. Every plant has natural sugars in it. Every animal has natural sugars in it. You are bringing it to the surface and then caramelizing it.
Ah.
And caramelization provides so much flavor. A really good steak.
Like you do caramelization of onions. Okay.
Right. Well, think of a really good steak. It has that really good crust on the outside.
Right.
What have you done? You have caramelized the flesh on the outside of
sweetened
that steak.
Sweetened it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You actually add a little bitterness when you caramelize, too. Just like with regular caramel, because you are kind of burning.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, sweet and bitter. But it's just a hint of bitterness, not like an IPA or something that smacks you in the face. It's just a hint of it.
Okay.
People have said for years that what made the difference in man thinking was we started cooking our meat. And that's not true. What made us start thinking, our brains develop, was we started cooking vegetables. Most vegetables do you no good raw. One of the big trends in the early 2000s was the raw diet, and people were suffering from malnutrition on it.
Mm.
Mushrooms have to be cooked to unlock the nutritional value, plus the hemp. We'll talk about it on the other side. Spinach is another one. Broccoli, another one. Need to be cooked. 251-343-0106.
Good job.
Cowpokes will come from a near and far when you throw a few ribeyes on the farm. Roberta Duran ate two before a fight, cause it gives a mighty man an awful lot of mighty mind.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Before we broke on the break, which is what you do in a break, you break.
I must do a break all the time. Broke all the time.
Every day of your life.
Cooking vegetables.
Yeah, talk about cooking vegetables and how important it was. A lot of vegetables, you don't release their nutritional value until you cook them. And I was talking about mushrooms. Mushrooms have an amino acid that blocks the body's ability to absorb the nutrients from the mushroom. And you have to cook it to break that acid down, that amino acid down.
Hmm.
Spinach has that same amino acid, but tons more of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not cook spinach, it not only you will not miss all the nutrients in the spinach, but it also blocks 85% of the nutrients of everything else you eat with that spinach.
Really?
Yes. Spinach must be cooked. Spinach salads are not healthy.
That's what I was just about to say.
Because you don't get any nutritional value from it. You just get fiber.
It's just
and water.
Raw, yeah. Just getting, okay.
Now you can break that with the addition of acid, which will also break that down.
Isn't that the job of the dressing then?
The vinegar, yeah. Uh-huh. Ranch dressing doesn't have vinegar, therefore it doesn't belong in vegetables. Blue cheese is the only dressing that's not oil and vinegar based that I think belongs on a salad. Thousand Island's not a dressing; it is a seafood dip. It always has been. It was invented to dip seafood in. That's,
okay.
I mean, it's literally, Thousand Island is not a dressing.
You might
it is
as well
Thousand
just put
Island
some yum-yum
dip.
Sauce on the leaf.
Well, one of the hamburger chains uses Thousand Island on their
burger. Yeah, McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Yeah, that's their secret sauce. And we all went, that's Thousand Island.
Anybody worked for them. How many millions did they
makes
sell?
Makes a good burger sauce, too, Thousand Island. Because it's mayonnaise, ketchup, and pickle. That's not
aioli.
Dressing for a salad, y'all. Mayonnaise and ketchup on lettuce is not a healthy meal. Ranch dressing is mayonnaise and buttermilk and salt and pepper. And sure, there's dill in there. It has no flavor. Who cares? But that is not something you put on. If it's creamy, it's not healthy, salad-wise.
Oh, okay. Well, wait a minute. No, there's cucumber salad. My whole mind was going around cucumber
salad.
Yeah,
but I'm saying you're damaging the point. Now, if you eat salad because you like salad, you don't care if it's healthy. Forget everything I'm saying. Do what you want.
Right.
But if your goal in eating salad is to eat healthier, you must eat vinaigrette. Hmm. Now, the good thing is there are probably 1,000 different types of vinaigrette.
Because they get vinegar itself.
Because there are 1,000. In fact, one vinaigrette doesn't actually have any vinegar in it. You make it with olive oil and lime juice. It comes from the Mediterranean. It's delicious.
Hmm.
A nice little Mediterranean. Your acid in this case, because a vinaigrette is a three parts oil, one part acid. That's a vinaigrette. So if you've ever wondered how to make oil and vinegar dressing, your ratio. It's three parts oil, one part vinegar. You can use lemon juice for your vinegar. But you use cider vinegar, you just made a Greek salad. You use red wine vinegar, you just made a romaine salad. You use balsamic vinegar, you made a very Italian salad.
Mm-hmm.
The vinegar, and like Sean Brock, who created Husk Restaurant in Charleston, Nashville, phenomenal chef. I admire him greatly. Built a laboratory in Charleston just to invent new vinegars. And they had invented over 200 vinegars.
Wow.
That they would use for one dish, because it's one of those restaurants. And just play with it. Sean Brock's also the guy, I think I told Mike about this, who asked his chicken distributor, on this boneless, skinless chicken breast, what do y'all do with the skin? And they said, we sell it to dog and cat food makers, and that's what goes into the chicken flavor that's in dog food and cat food.
Hmm.
You could boil it, and you can make, you know, it'll add to your stocks and your broth and all that.
Okay.
Sean bought, said, can I just buy it from you fresh? He goes, sure. Sean took it, scraped it down real good, dried it out, roasted it in the oven, got it crisp. Then when you ordered their nachos, they threw it in the fryer, got the skin even crispier, and the chicken skin was the tortillas for the nachos.
Huh.
That is remarkable. Hickory Pit used to do a dish. Andy, when Andy and I did that food crawl through Sims, we went there and I wanted him to try that. They were doing the same thing. Basically, they were buying the skin that got pulled off of boneless thighs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it would still have a little chunk of thigh meat on it sometimes. They were frying that up in batter and then had five or six different dipping sauces you could choose from. My favorite was sawmill gravy.
So what's the difference between chicken skin and turkey skin?
Skin's
pork
phenomenal.
Rinds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the same pretty much.
Yeah. Now, none of this is healthy. Keep in mind, most of the evil fat in chicken and turkey, the bad fats, you know, the ones that we get too much of, saturated fats, monosaturated fats, all of that is in the skin.
Ah,
and
that's why you
which
have
is
a
delicious
skin breast.
Okay. Yeah, but that's why you want to the chicken thigh without skin is healthier than the chicken breast with skin.
Really?
As far as fat, cholesterol, calories, all of that. There's not a big gap. The people that are going for the chicken breast over the chicken thigh,
I was about to ask.
Either want it because it's a bigger piece of meat and don't care that there's no flavor in it, or they just don't care for dark meat.
I'm a thigh. Now,
yeah.
I was about to ask about thighs or dark meat. Is there a difference in...
A little more fat. Okay. Not much. Just a little bit more. But with the chicken breast, you've got the concentration of every one of those heinous chemicals they put in that chicken to make it big, fast, and get to market.
Right.
It's all concentrated in the breast.
I was at an opening of a wine bar somewhere,
mm-hmm.
Once upon a time.
Chunchula, Alabama?
No. They're not quite there yet. They're
Mount Vernon?
Mapping it out. What they did, they took thighs and they made a pate.
Oh, really?
They took the skin mm-hmm. and baked it to yeah. make a crunchy cracker.
Make a chip out
and
of
then
it.
They set the chip or the cracker on top of the dish with the pate.
That, I've never heard of it. That sounds phenomenal.
I think it was Weston.
Oh, yeah. It makes sense. Weston Simpson
him.
Was the chef that helped open Poor Baby.
Okay.
And then he took a run in his own place, W Downtown, right when the economy was starting to tank. And last time I saw him is working in the Mardi Gras store, taking a break.
I saw him at Le Moyne's.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's right. He's at LeMoyne's, but he's working in front of the house, right?
Great talented.
Kid. Love that.
Great talented. Got a great fashion style about him, too.
Yeah.
he dresses real
well,
good.
Well, he was on one of those 20 most beautiful people in Alabama under 20 or under 30 or whatever those were.
Super nice guy.
Yeah, great guy. Nice guy. Respect Weston. Very inventive chef. Very talented. Would like to see him helm a kitchen again, but I understand if he's
hey one day it might be
yeah.
I think he can do it all.
Yeah, I would never completely say I would never own another place, but I'm going to have deep pockets to do it. I'm not going to try to do it on my own again.
Big question.
Make a opening a small business. Every state is like this country. Neither party likes small business owners. They hate them. Republicans want to hire them. And Democrats want them beholden to the government. But when you are a small business owner, you have a power that government doesn't want you to have, and that is you don't have to rely on them. So they make it as difficult as possible for you to start a business. I've lived through it. And Mike has well. He started small businesses.
Well, they it's like it they as, want you to open up, but they don't. But they, with all the regulations there, they don't want to put you out of business.
Yeah,
should at the same time.
Here is a reform every state should have. The first year a small business is open, they should have no tax burden. Period. The city doesn't, does state, county, they don't deserve a penny that first year. Make their investment be in making sure that small business succeeds. Then you can hit them with taxes starting in the second year. But the first year should be tax-free.
Makes sense.
You should, the state should not be benefiting by someone trying to start a business and it not working. They shouldn't make a profit from that.
Jarhead, go ahead.
I bet Jarhead agrees with that.
Yeah, I do. But did I just hear you guys say somebody was selling fried chicken skins?
Was, yeah. Yeah, the Hickory Pit and Sims used to have it on the menu. I just don't think it went over
actually,
well.
Two in Which Rouse's, guy? And there was a company selling fried chicken skins, like pork skin, mm-hmm. but it was fried chicken. I haven't seen them, but they're expensive. They were expensive when they were out there.
Let me tell you guys, now, if people want to eat good and they want to go to, say, KFC or whatever and get them a nice chicken breast and get that skin pulled off there and sell that package up, I would buy it every day.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Like I said, Hickory Pit used to have it, and not enough people bought it, I think, so Brandon took it off the menu. But it was phenomenal. And
call it
Jarhead,
chicken
I'm telling you, they didn't just fry the chicken skin. They dipped it in batter and then fried it.
Fry the chicken and then pull the skin off of it, and then you can have the good lean meat. Just give me the daggum skin.
What I've had, what I've had was, and I've done this at home too. I put it on a parchment paper and just bake it in an oven with salt, pepper. Just that simple.
And that is a key element. If you want to try that at home, Jarhead, or any of the listeners at home, all five of you, as if you make your own cracklings, whether it be pork skin, duck skin, chicken skin, you have to put salt on it. It is inedible without salt. But once you put the salt on there, it totally changes the flavor. It is crucial in doing any kind of skin like that.
By the way, Randy here in Texas, hey guys, what about carrots as far as releasing the nutrients when they are cooked? I love raw
That's
carrots,
a good
but
question.
Despite cooked carrots.
Did you say carrots? I love grilled carrots.
Yeah, let me take a look real quick. Mike, you keep talking, and I'll look that up.
I was eating peanuts.
Thanks for the call, sir.
Yeah, now, I will say broccoli. You should always cook your broccoli. Broccoli has a really harmful toxin in it.
I like the young carrots with the stalk still on them. Oh, my God, that's good.
Yeah.
What do you mean? There's a toxin in broccoli?
Yeah, it's raw broccoli is very toxic. Broccoli. Yeah. Now, I understand you may like it, the crunchiness. Here's how you
it's
do that.
It's not cauliflower, broccoli.
Right, broccoli.
Okay.
Here is how you get that wonderful crunchiness you love about broccoli and make it healthy. Drop it into boiling water for 30 seconds and then into ice water, which that's called blanching.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what you're doing is that toxin's going to immediately be kicked out. The other thing you're going to notice is the green of that broccoli
Pops.
Is going to be vibrant, very vibrant. And that's because now all of your nutrients are right there at the surface, ready to go. It'll still be crispy. But now, to get sick from eating raw broccoli, you'd have to eat like 5 pounds in a sitting.
Okay, that's kind of where I was.
But if you ate 5 pounds of broccoli in one sitting, you would probably die. Yeesh. I mean, it's that bad.
You're sick anyway.
Right. Well, nothing else. You'd spend all week in the bathroom. Nobody want to sit in the car with you. 251-343-0106. We'll be back with one last segment.
All them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spoodyooty, drink wine. Mop, mop. Wine, spoodyooty, drink wine. Mop, mop. Wine, spoodyooty, drink wine. Mop, mop. Pass that bottle to me.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
We are back, and I'm going to have Steve reread a question we had before the break because I have the answer now. It's an intriguing question. I really like the answer.
Yeah, Randy said, hey, guys, what about carrots as far as releasing the nutrients when they are cooked? I love raw carrots but despise cooked carrots.
All right, here's what I found. Now, to me, the best part of a pot roast is the carrot.
Everybody's got an opinion.
It's even better than the roast. But I understand some people don't care for cooked carrots. But Yes, carrots are more nutritious when cooked because cooking breaks down the cell walls, making the body better able to absorb beta-carotene, a precursor to vitamin A. However, cooking can reduce water-soluble vitamins like vitamin C. So the best approach is to eat a mix of both raw and cooked carrots to get the full range of nutrients.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, a lot of vegetables.
Beta carotene is pretty important.
Yeah, it really is. That's what makes the carrot orange.
Right.
It's fantastic for your eyes.
And your heart.
Yeah. Like it says, precursor to vitamin A.
Okay.
So,
thank you, Randy.
Yeah.
You know, you learn something every week on this show. Learn something.
We do. Yeah, don't
learn how many peanuts you can eat in a freaking sitting.
While we're on the subject of carrots,
I'm picking.
Prior to the commercial production of carrots, most of the time when a person ate a carrot, it was purple.
Really?
Orange was a rare variation. Mm. It does not taste as good. It doesn't have as many nutrients, but you know what it does? It allows you to grow a whole lot of it, and it lasts a long time in stores.
Is it a in other words, it's a hybridization?
It's just another variation.
It clashes with the purple cabbage in coleslaw.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have, you can't have purple carrots and purple cabbage in coleslaw.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't want.
How would you do that?
I don't want coleslaw at all.
You Americanized bums. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. Tomatoes, for the most part, are not round and red. Right. That was created in the laboratory. Mm-hmm. They wanted them to look like apples. If you ever see what they call the heirloom tomatoes, they will be multiple colors. The shapes are funky. Nowhere near as many seeds. There's a lot more flesh in a heirloom tomato. I love heirloom tomatoes, though. Mr. Stripey is a good one, which is like green and yellow stripes naturally.
I was introduced to the hydroponic idea.
Hydroponic.
Thank you. Where these things got huge. Is that
that technique was developed at Tuskegee Institute here in the state of Alabama as a partnership with NASA to work on ways to grow vegetables in zero gravity.
Yeah.
And I used to have a hydroponic desktop thing. I'm trying to remember. The Aero Garden.
Right.
Highly recommend it. Simon Majumdar has one. Mm-hmm. And he grows his herbs in his apartment in L.A. with one. I grew herbs with mine. Great to start your seeds out in and then move them.
To ground.
Because they get controlled light. They get controlled nutrition. There's no dirt involved with this.
Right.
What is happening is you're recirculating water that runs over the roots that you have added the nutrients in the that plant needs to the water.
Yeah.
Great, great technique.
Back in the 70s before you were born, I worked for
Dell
Champs.
Mike was a senior then.
In high school.
I'm a citizen.
I worked for Dell Champs, and we started getting those tomatoes in, and they were grown over off DIP at one time. They had a big greenhouse. Yeah. Of course, our greenhouse is down there. At the end of DIP, there at Fowl River, Fish River, Dog River, I'm sorry, Dog River. But these things were perfect. Not a flaw on them.
Yeah, because they're kept free of insects. They're
so we went there and looked at it and to see how, because I worked in produce then and in high school. And so we were invited to come by and look at it. And it was a great operation.
And if it's December, a hydroponic tomato is a great option.
Mm-hmm.
If it is July, you're settling for a second-rate tomato to eat a hydroponic because
they grow in the garden, you know.
Well, actual soil and actual sunlight are always going to be better than simulated soil and simulated sunlight.
There's a thing in Disney in Epcot that they have all of that. That's the first time I ever saw the
hydroponic. They sold me beer when I was 18 there.
So anyway, the idea was really intriguing to me. And then they started. Then I saw later on they had the little kits that you could buy at, you know, Kmart or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean the idea of doing all vegetables, carrots, everything like that.
Carrots be a little different though.
It was interesting.
Yeah, because it's a root. It's a tuber. It needs to be buried in soil.
Yeah. But I'm just saying they had beans. They had everything, and that was all again like they.
I would think Bill Finch would be the person to ask about that. If you ever talked, I don't know if you've ever talked to Bill before.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But he's. He's fairly knowledgeable.
Every week before the show.
And I would think that tubers probably need to be in soil because they're a root.
Yeah.
You know, just like a rhizome, like ginseng or horseradish.
Or garlic.
Garlic is a bulb. Still ground, the onion part is underground. Is the I've never noticed. Is the garlic bulb above ground? The person to ask would be anyone that lives in Gilroy, California.
I do not know.
For those who don't know, Gilroy is the garlic capital of the world. Every year they have a garlic festival. If you remember the old Disney teen show with the two skateboarders, Hutch and Luther.
Speaking of old.
Yeah. Well, it was 10 years ago. It was just 10 years ago. Hutch Dano was the star. It was like Luther and somebody. But they lived in Gilroy, California, and they were spitting garlic trivia all the time because it's, the largest producer of garlic in the world.
I got you.
Yeah. Plants are people always say that you notice as a chef gets older, they really just start loving vegetables.
I do. You're that guy?
Yeah. Because you start learning how different they are, or produce. Let's say produce. Because, like you said earlier, tomato, cucumber, those are fruit.
Right.
Jalapeno pepper, that's a fruit. So it's produce. Yeah.
You didn't say that.
Yeah, either. It's a berry.
Oh, it's a berry.
Yeah, it's in the berry family. Yeah, all your chilies are in the berry.
I prefer to grill all my vegetables. I really would.
Really?
Except my green beans. I'm not going to.
In spring.
Or my peas. My peas will fall through the cracks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Leave them in the pod. You think about that? Don't snap your snap beans. Mike's sitting here thinking now.
Holy cow. I can smell it.
Well, nah, he went to Crystal last night.
No, I didn't.
I knew something.
But vegetables, produce, Smash it's very interesting. If you really are interested in the scientific aspect, there's a book called On Food and Cooking that was written by a scientist and literature degree who he wasn't a chef. He wanted to learn about it, but he did it book-wise. And I'm just drawing a blank to the author's name. If you're a chef, you know this book.
What's it called?
On Food and Cooking. Roger. I almost got the name. I'm old, y'all. Memory fades. But
says Harold McGee.
Yeah, Harold McGee. That's right. Mario Batali once said, you don't need to go to culinary school. Get in the kitchen and cook. Go home and read Harold McGee. And you'll be a chef.
Really?
The first chapter of that is on dairy, and it's absolutely fascinating. Then I got to the chapter on poultry. An egg goes from an unfertilized – in a chicken – goes from an unfertilized cell to an egg you can eat in 24 hours. Mike's passing out. He's falling asleep. Mm. But, an egg is an unfertilized cell.
I'm still thinking about the garlic, if it's above ground or below ground.
I'm trying to get that.
Google it. It's Mike, you've got the answer right
there. We got Steve.
You got the show ending.
Mike's gotten so bad now he can't even lift a cell phone. Too much work.
Garlic, a bulb?
Yeah, it's a bulb. I just don't know if it, like Brussels sprouts, if you've ever seen it.
Yes, it says garlic is a bulb. We've answered it before.
Well, I knew it was a bulb. Is it above ground or below ground?
Well, folks, get out
there. Tune in next week to find out the answer.
There you go.
Save fat time, save fat channel.
Get out there, support local, be local, buy local, support all your local business.
Especially those that specialize in provolone.
Cream. What's this?
This is juice. This is juice. Uh-oh.